Okay, let's make sure this is working. Yep, it is, because this is the only recording I'm getting here. It's with my own. So everything's blinking and moving. So, let's get going here. June 16th, 2013. I amazed myself the other day. We had talked about the walk on Wednesday night. And I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll get out the Manner of Life pages that I have, the list of Manner of Life, and let's just review that for the folks. And as I finally found those things, I realized that, A, they're not online like I thought they were, because they were in the Salina, Ohio file, and the Salina, Ohio file has been taken off all the website. Thought I had that fixed, but I didn't. Not that anybody's clicking through the website anyway. I know they're not, because I don't get those emails anymore like I used to get. So apparently I've been noted, marked, and ignored and rejected. So I'm gonna upgrade and upload and updo this Manner of Life that I think you guys are all aware of. You folks, not guys, we got ladies there, you gentlemen and ladies, are aware of this stuff. And we went through the walk Wednesday night, for people who don't know what I'm talking about when I say the walk. But I so badly want people to realize that going to Paul's walk is not going from one bondage of things you have to do in the Gospels and Tribulation and Peter to things that you have to do to be saved or to keep your salvation through Paul. And I know there are times that I probably come across to some people like, the things you're doing is wrong, and make a big thing about it. But, you know, where's my grace, and where's the reality of today and the flesh battles? And I understand all that stuff. But it's just like Paul. He wept. You know, Paul didn't weep. Paul had tears. It's the people that wept. And I think there's a difference there. Paul talks about the tears that he had for the people, and he was aware of their weeping. And as I see that, because I really believe every word is exactly the way Christ wants it, the Lord wants it in that book, and that there is a difference between the tears that Paul shed and the weeping that the people did. I'm that picky with my words with the King James Bible. And so Paul cared enough about his people that when he knew they were doing stuff they ought not to, he had tears for them. I mean, he cared. And he knew the people were weeping. He knew they were having a very difficult time. And yet it must be frustrating. It must have been frustrating for him to know what he knew and to be able to do the miracles that he did at first, and then not to be able to do them later, the signs and wonders and all that stuff. It's the first part of his ministry. And all these guys that could do stuff like that. And yet, when we want miracles and we want signs and wonders in our lives, we ask for the particular specific things, and it would be nice to be able to heal people. You know? But think of the responsibility that would be, even to stop and to eat, or to take a nap, or take a shower or something. You would be not healing people. What a weight loss program if you could learn how to heal people and go around people. Yeah, but then if you could heal people, you had a weight loss issue. So why don't you just heal yourself? You wouldn't be so fat, da 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 da. So it's all just craziness, is what it is. But anyway. So I'll put online two forms of this Manner of Life thing. Remember, it's to discover, decide, depart, despise, destroy, prayer, tears, grace, truth, the untouchable, nesses, kindness, lowliness, mercy, patience, honesty, charity. Walk in things, put on things, put off these things, speak to others, admonish, reprove, rebuke, know how to answer people, make your move, avoid, withdraw from such, do not strive, neither give heed, purge, reject, be not partakers, mark them, note them, have no company, put away from yourselves, cast off, have no fellowship, and at the very end, deliver them to the world, deliver them to Satan. That's the Manner of Life. As well as modesty, as well as not to lie, all the things that Paul talks about and Timothy talks and Titus talks. That's the Manner of Life. That's the walk that we should be dealing with as a Christian. Knowing, of course, and here's the hugest of all differences, knowing, of course, that when we stumble and mess up, we can get up and keep going. With the judgment seat of Christ, we'll take care of those spots and tarnishes that we did. But see, I'm not very patient with that, I guess, my own life as well as other people's, because it affects your testimony. It affects the truth. And yes, it's a pride thing. For me, as a pastor, as a person talking about these things, knowing people are giving in and being bewitched and going backwards instead of forwards, I see people out there that have challenged us, have questioned us, and have doubted us, and we see them becoming happier, just like Jeremiah. When his familiars tried to get him to trip up, they loved it when he did. And Nehemiah fought everybody. He even fought his own relatives. He fought all those things. And, you know, I see that today, and yeah, it does tweak me up. I see the world laughing more and more because the Christianity that they're seeing is baloney. It's a false Christianity. Godliness denying the power thereof. And so the people that have the power thereof, not for healing and not for miracles and signs and wonders, but to have a joy, to have a peace about them, no matter what goes on in our lives, and to be able to, anyway, and to exhibit Paul's manner of life in our life. Like you said in Thessalonians, these people showed these people, Paul's gang showed these people that Paul's teachings had entered into their life. And how much of Paul's teachings have entered into our lives so that people out there would see that? Or do they see what has entered into our lives? Do they see us throwing them away and not believing it really in the long run, seeing the flesh get the victories? That's the thing. So this manner of life page is really quite a, there is my voice again, is really quite a complete page. Now, I also found, the one that I first found has no scripture references. It just lists them, like I stated, in more detail still. Then I found that I had done years ago, 2009 is where this thing was located. I've got 24 pages here of what I just read through with all the scriptures. I'm sure I missed something somewhere. With all the scriptures that describe or make note of Paul's manner of life. And I look at that and I thought, man, when did I do that? That's an amazing package right there. Because Paul says that we fully know Paul's manner of life. Well, do we fully know? Well, here's Paul's manner of life, fully printed. I mean, all you got to do is read your King James Bible, not a doubt, and Paul's books. But this is it in a nutshell. So I'll change the links on this stuff, and I'll get it out there. It's just so people can be interested. And that's the package that would get us prepared for the judgment seat of Christ. That's also the package that would cause us to change our lives, and that's also the package that would cause your family and friends and relatives and workers and neighbors, everybody, to get mad at you because you talk about the truth and you live the truth best that you can. So there's that. And as we go into questions of the issues of life for the summer series, there's something that made the news. Oh, here's something, by the way. I read this in the news. Mainstream news is starting to pick up on a lot of this stuff. And it's interesting because here one of the things I read was they're talking about money in America and everything and the problems. I found in a news article the statement where it says, we have found that the love of money is corrupting people to do unethical behavior. That's talking about the government, all the power for money and all that. So they said that the love of money, they actually said that, is corrupting Americans, and it's corrupting politicians and people, so they do unethical behavior. Well, that sounds like 1 Timothy chapter 6 to me. Love of money, the root of all evil, and it goes on and it describes what will happen to people when they want to have and need to have so much money that they love the money income thing and it corrupts them to do unethical behavior. Well, yeah, that's in 1 Timothy chapter 6 there, person. You didn't know that? Wow, too bad. Then here's the thing we're going to talk about this morning and tonight. This is quite amazing to me, probably not to anybody else, but in the news, in the mainstream news, the big guys, They're asking questions like, is Superman really Jesus? There it is. I mean, there's a new movie coming out, Superman, the new Superman movie, I put it that way. They've got articles out there, and I'll have it on my notes, and you can check the article online. There's other things, too. And they're actually asking the question, is Superman really Jesus? Because in the new movie Superman, he has Christ-like images, they say. You can get your own Superman prayer card. And I've got the article here. And let me read this to you. This is amazing what they're saying out there. Man of Steel filled with Jesus, Christianity references. I'll just read some sentences. I won't read the whole article. You can read it yourself. It starts off with, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's Jesus. When Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster created their iconic comic book hero, Superman, in 1938, their character wasn't just a representation of truth, justice, and the American way, but for many it was a metaphor for Jewish immigrants. Created by two young Jewish men, Superman was an allusion to the Jewish faith. From his baby Moses-like origins to his Gollum-esque invincibility to his outcast status and his ultimate struggle to assimilate in a new land. So when they first wrote the Superman comic, which I read every one of them, it was a type of the Jewish faith. Okay? Somewhere along the journey, since 1938, the father here, K.L., converted to Christianity, which is no more evident than in Zack Snyder's current Man of Steel. Snyder and his Steel co-creators Christopher Nolan and David Goyer have layered this latest incarnation with quite a few allusions to Jesus Christ. Here are some of them. Here's one of them. This reminds me of when we talk about Santa Claus. All the characteristics of Santa Claus follow up with Jesus. We'll talk about that later, probably. Now, and we've always said Superman, he lives up north, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And, we saw that. We say that to people. They just laugh at you. You know, say, oh, cut it out. You just don't like Superman, you know, or whatever. Here are some of them. While there isn't a miraculous birth, per se, Kal-El's father, Jor-El, Russell Crowe, of all people, claims that his son is the first natural birth. All children on Krypton are genetically engineered to a predetermined purpose. Well, that's what they're trying to do today. And thus artificially inseminated. Not K.L. and Jor-El and his wife, Laura, had some legitimate baby-making going on. So it still shows a different than normal birth. Okay, here's another one. One blaring symbol occurs during a climactic battle. Superman jumps from General Zod's ship and hovers in the sky with his arms outstretched like the crucifix. Freeze frame it and you have your own Superman prayer card, which they have available. Another point. K.L. says he is 33, same age that Jesus Christ was when he was crucified. Another point. Passion of Superman is more, he is more willing to sacrifice himself to save the people of Earth. Originally reluctant to reveal his identity and powers to the world, we know that, he decided to turn himself over to Zod to save humanity from annihilation. Here's another point. When things got tough, Clark Kent seeks advice from a priest. Visible in the background is a large painting of Jesus, so you can see Superman and Christ side by side. Another point. Superman is a non-violent being. Even though people everywhere seem to want to beat up on Clark Kent, he never returns the favor, always opting to keep the peace. So there's that modern Jesus there. Joseph Kent, Clark's adoptive father, is somewhat like Jesus' dad, Joseph. Both are tradesmen. Joseph a carpenter, Jonathan's a farmer. Superman's ship is even kept in Kent's stable. And finally, don't forget the Holy Trinity. Jor-El returns to Kal-El, whatever, on Earth as a ghost, guiding his budding superhero son on his journey to salvation. Before Jor-El sends his son off to Earth, baby Moses style, he tells his wife that he will be a god to them. And then you throw in the obvious things, like I said, has a house up north and the whole spiel. So, is that amazing? I mean, the main media is out there talking that Superman, now, you know, nobody wants to talk about Jesus. They don't want any of that kind of talk going on. But now, all of a sudden, the main guys are talking that this Superman is like Jesus, out of the sky and the whole thing. And, boy, we got the talk about Obama being either the Antichrist or the prophet or whatever. You've got Superman being dolled up to be like Jesus coming out of the sky. Boy, if people don't see what's going on here, you know, Ephesians and Colossians, they say redeeming the time because the days are evil. Boy, that is so true. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And it seems like all people are doing, and probably us too, because we're tired of the battles, we're not walking towards these people that have no clue with wisdom. They don't, they don't see it. They don't want to hear about it. And, which prompts me to talk about images again. Now, I remember back when I talked about movies and images and stuff, back in when I was in a church and all that stuff, every movie I would talk about the subtle things that are in there and how it's evil communication, here are the things that are going to get to you. Everybody would go to the movies to see what it was. And I didn't have to see the movie. I just read the story of it. I would read the characters. I would read the synopsis stuff. I would not watch the movie to get the small things out of there. But everybody would then go see the movie. Now, what did that teach the kids? What does that teach the children when they say, well, we don't want you to see this because it's not good for you? Then they go off and they go to the movie. Parents and relatives don't realize the damage we do to other people when everybody knows we're going off to see this stuff. And I'm sure everybody, all the Christians, probably the list that's on here, are probably going to want to see Superman, and they're going to want to see this stuff. I did it one time. I went to see Lion King. The kids were going to, this was years ago. I took my two kids, let's go see Lion King. My band students, music students, are going to ask me what I thought of the movie. So let's go see it so I can tell them what I think of the movie. I remember sitting there watching this thing, being in awe, because this movie is so Book of Revelation. You got the baby lion, you got the Ruckman in there with, I can't remember the name of that scrunchy little guy. You've got the priest, the voodoo priest guy, you've got God, you got the whole thing. You got the famine, you got the, they loved him, and then you got the famine, then you got Scar, I think it's a Scarface or Scar. Fought the baby, the lion when he comes back is no longer a baby. The whole, I remember just sitting there thinking, this is amazing. So, I went out and I bought all the characters to the movie, so I knew the kids were going to ask me, what did I think of the movie, which gives me a legal ability to respond to what I thought of the movie. So, I bought all the little toy characters, and when the kids would ask me, and they did, what do I think of the movie Lion King? Wasn't it great? I said, well, let me show you something. So I would walk through the movie like it was the revelational stuff. And the kids are going, where in the world did you get this from? Well, it was just a seed I tried to plant, you know. But that was, man, I was teaching my first time in South Dakota. That would have been 16, 17, that would be like 20-some years ago that thing came out. And now we've got a movie coming in where the Superman is being talked about as Jesus. And the world just laughs, ha, ha, ha. Well, you know, one of these days, we're not talking about Christ coming, we're talking about this Antichrist coming down. And here, and it's an image that people are going to see. So here we're already looking at an image of an Antichrist type, far more imagery-ish than Santa Claus was. Just getting better. So it makes me think about, let's talk about images this morning. And then let's look at Revelation chapter 6 tonight and Revelation chapter 19. Because Revelation chapter 6 is what we know everybody's going to turn to show that what's coming out of the sky is Jesus. And we know that the real Christ is not coming out of the sky as such until Revelation 19. So there's a fake one coming down in Revelation chapter 6. So we're going to look at that stuff today and tonight. So if anybody says, what do you think of the movie Superman? Oh, I'm just telling you, I think it's an awesome movie. It just exposes the fact that the Antichrist is getting ready to come down, and they're talking like Jesus, and we know, don't you know, their friend, that Revelation 6 takes place before Revelation 19? And they will say, what in the world are you talking about? And eventually they're going to say, Revelation, you believe that book Revelation? I've got a new Bible. They got a new Bible out, and it doesn't have the book of Revelation in that. That book should have never been in there in the first place. That's where they're headed with this stuff. They've got to get rid of the book of Revelation, because that's when Christ comes back, 19. That explains the tribulation they're going to be going through from 4 to 19. And it shows the coming of the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6. It exposes all this. So this stuff has to go before this stuff. Now you just watch. One of these new Bibles, they're already attacking the book of Revelation. Somebody called me yesterday and told me that they're really going after the book of Revelation. In fact, Rush's father taught Rush, and who spread it to other people, that the book of Revelation does not belong in the Bible. Rush's dad taught that. Okay, so let's do this. Now, this is an attack on movies. This is not a Baptist, you don't go to movies because, you know, God's going to get you. We have to remember that, no, we're not going to be had. We're not going to lose what we have because we see a movie. But we have to remember that we still, our flesh, we are still capable of being snared. We are still capable of having our flesh and our day-to-day life be corrupted. We can still be turned aside from reading our Bible, from trying to live the manner of life from Paul. We can still be turned aside by what? By images, by pictures, by movies, by television, by videos. And I've talked about this for years back in Tushy, because videos was such a huge thing back then. Movies. And to some people, they got their houses are full of DVDs. And I used to go to people's homes and they would know it. Everybody, you know, the joke was, hey, the pastor's coming over, get out your Bibles, put them on the table. And I said, don't worry about getting your Bibles out, but put your movies away, because I'll see what you're watching, and that'll tell me an awful lot about you. And oh, the time that's wasted, I knew it would be there. The time that's wasted, the money for this stuff, that's bad enough. But to know that we are being corrupted, we are being turned aside because of this evil communications that's out there. So let's look at this. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Do we need to worry about this stuff? We're saved. We understand the King James Bible. We know how to follow Paul. Well, and I'm sure we have all seen videos. We've all watched a movie or two here or there. And when you're watching, even just TV, even the old and goldies or the golden oldies or whatever, when we watch those, do we see now the subtleties that are in there? Do we see how men have been changed to be doing the dishes and being the wimpy one and the commercials, and the ladies are the ones who are the strong ones with all the right answers? Do we see the turnaround? And we used to laugh at Blondie and Dagwood. We used to laugh at Ozzie and Harriet. We used to laugh at, well, that really dates me, that's Ozzie and Harriet, you know. Leave It to Beaver with Ward, and here's June comes bombing, coming down the steps in the morning from in the middle of the night, because we got Beaver and we got his brother Wally coming home in the middle of the night, and June comes bopping down the steps in her perfect hair and, you know, the whole spiel. Such falsities was taught. And the sexual innuendos that we see in the TVs and movies, even in the old ones. And did you notice in the old movies, the old TVs, man, they're smoking like their house is on fire. So everybody had to smoke because they smoked in the movies and on TV. It's amazing. It's amazing what images and movies, evil communication do to us. And so here we are. We see Superman, a movie, is just going to awe people into this whole preparation thing for someday a real Superman will be coming out of the sky and people will go, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Jesus, just like the article starts off. It's amazing. Deuteronomy 7:25. Let's look at that for a second here. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Well, now you're going back to Deuteronomy, and that's not Paul's books. I know that. But what he says here still tells us what he still thinks, and there's a warning here that we still could perceive. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them. Look at the money that comes out of these movies. Nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. So, this stuff that we're seeing here, images, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. These are these graven images. So, okay, we understand that. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. See, we can, can it still happen to us? Sure it can. Sure. We don't have the Spirit of God upon our flesh so we can stay away from this stuff. We fight that battle. And if we stay with it, we still have Christ, we still have His faith, we are spiritually circumcised, our flesh is, our soul is separated from our flesh, no problem, we got the Spirit of God in us. But we still can fall into the trap of this, of what's going on here. And I'm not worried about you guys thinking enough about Superman that you're going to fall for that stuff. I just want people to realize this Bible is not archaic. This King James Bible, rightly divided, and even beyond rightly divided, just Genesis to Revelation, tells everybody what they need to know. And it would warn people about this Antichrist baloney that is actually serious. They can talk about, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Jesus, ha ha ha, but this is real stuff. This is going to happen. Exodus 20, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Water under the earth, beneath the earth, or that is in heaven. It could snare us. It could snare those people. It was an abomination. So, how many people that will listen to this sermon someday, I hope people still do. I'm starting to wonder, though. I just wonder how many people have a picture of Jesus in their home? And if you remember back in Tushy, we went through, I studied, I forgot where it was, 1940-something, who the author was. It was a Unitarian artist that painted the Jesus that people still look at today. We had a picture of Jesus on the church wall when I first got to Tushy. One of those spooky ones for you when you walk around this picture, the eyes seem to follow you. You ever seen that picture? It's got these feminated red lips and it was like spooky. That picture went right away. That bothered some people. It bothered those people that I taught that I knocked Billy Graham. And then it really upset the people at first. I took the cross down in the church. But they got into their books and they realized as I showed them why, and they see it. They saw it, at least so I thought. So this image thing is corrupting us. It just does. And like I say, when you watch something, you have enough smart, you have enough wisdom and knowledge of the Scriptures and of the risen Savior and of Paul, etc., etc., you can spot these things. Deuteronomy 5, verse 8, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven alone, heaven above, there it is again, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. There it is twice, Exodus and Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4:16. Deuteronomy 4, verse 16. Lest ye corrupt yourselves, and make you a graven image, a similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, and the likeness of any winged fowl, that flieth up in the air. The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and thou shalt lift up. Amazing stuff. God just didn't think much of these images, did he? Now we know that we're talking statues as well. Look at Deuteronomy, look at verse 25. when thou shalt beget children and children's children, grandpas and grandmas here, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness, there we go, see, of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger. So, do we provoke God to anger when we do these things? Well, we just got to remember that God provided himself the lamb. So yeah, God, I still, without a doubt, God still, this is still God today. But he's dealt with it. He took care of the law. He had to fulfill the law himself. And they crucified all that whole prophecy stuff. It all came through. And he took care of it. So when we watch a movie or images or get into, we got statues in our house or whatever, you know, pictures on your wall of your kids. And I remember doing that. And I realized what I did with all my pictures. We had so many pictures that they were my little gods and goddesses. That's how I treated them. So this picture thing, this image thing, is really dangerous. And what do we have today? But we have kids that grow up from babyhood to whenever they graduate in the front of a camera. You got phones taking their pictures. You've got cameras taking their pictures. You got these kids growing up with videos. They're movie stars from the day one. And what do you suppose taking images, taking pictures of your kids all the time and making a big production about it, what do you suppose that does to those kids? Talk about flattery. Talk about movie star status. Talk about pride. Really quite the thing. If you just think, oh, you're just being so critical. No, I don't believe I am, because what are people going to worship? They're going to worship the image. So this whole thing had to come about, no doubt. And it says in Deuteronomy 9:25, they made a molten image. So there's that calf thing and all that. So that's understandable. Now let's look to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Are we corruptible because of this stuff? We're not corruptible, but our flesh will be fed. And if we don't stay in the book, you will eventually go the route this evil communication will cause you to go. And our kids, who do they want to dress like? They want to dress like the image people, the movie stars. We got little girls here dressing like these sex bombs in the movie star world. It's like, do you really want your little girl to look like that? I mean, well, they don't have anything there. Yeah, but you know, when they finally get something there, they've already been numbed to the immodesty, so it won't be immodest to them. That's why swimming is so bad. Little girls wearing all the stuff they do, and guys wearing the little things that they wear, and the clothes they wear when they go swimming contests and competition. All this stuff, it's there, you can't fight it, but you know, we know what it's doing to people. It's taking away the modesty. Remember, the Bible says that there'll come a day where they will not be shamed. And they aren't shamed today. There's no shame in this stuff. So, can it happen to us? Sure it can. We can turn aside, we can still be bewitched, but praise the Lord, Christ will not leave us. His faith is still in us. He will continue to work in us, and we just have to stay in the book. If we really crumble, or just crash, or just bump or something, we can just get right up and keep going again. That's the difference. That's the hugest difference between modern Christianity and the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Neither give heed to fables, Superman, and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. So we can still be turned aside. And you know this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Who wants to hear what I have to say? They're not there like they used to be. I wrote a letter, an email out to all the people on the listening list the other day. I hope you received yours. And I got a few comments back. It doesn't mean they're not there. It doesn't mean they're not listening. It could mean that their email address is a dud, or they don't go to that one anymore. Some of them did come back as failed, so they have different addresses now. But, you know, it's still, we're not going to pick up numbers. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves, teachers having itching ears. Do you think people want to hear what you have to say about this Superman movie? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, do you know what we're starting to see? We're starting to see more and more fables. Stories that are not true. Superman. People are going to fall for this Superman thing now because he's as close to the Antichrist as we have so far. It's amazing. Now, it says in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And my points on this verse are, watch thou in all things. Do we? Endure afflictions. We don't want to. Do the work of an evangelist. Evangelists don't start churches. They just preach. They go out and they teach people stuff. Make full proof of thy ministry. I have to fight myself and make this website as full as I possibly can. Now, if you notice on the website now, on the main page up at the top, I've got some new pictures and some new boxes there for an internet church. We'll see if that can invite some people or whatever. Then you click on that page and it takes you to internet church and what's available, da 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 da. And I also will have up there, who are we? I don't think I have one up there yet. It's just kind of like a statement of faith that people wonder who we are. Here, read this, and they'll tell you who we are, why you don't want to read us anymore, which is totally understandable, because those of you that are here, you're not here because of me, you're not here because of the music, you're not here because of the da-da-da-da, you're here because you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Most out there believe that the King James Bible is 1 Corinthians 13:10, and here are the things that we believe and the things that we teach. Here are some of the names I've been around. So I've learned from these guys, good and bad. I've learned from the big hunkers out there how crazy religion is and how deep people are into this thing. By the way, Oregon, the stuff about the Greek. The simplest thing to say to somebody about the Greek here, and I'll send you the website, I guess, over something. I think there's something out there. I just wrote it down. Where did I write it down at? Here we go. There's a couple ways to look at this Greek. Does that just bother you when people go to the Greek thing? That's why I tell them they're not King James Bible. That's why a lot of these big guru guys out there are not really King James Bible. They may carry one. They may hold one. They may wave it in the air when they talk about the Word of God. And I've done this with pastors. I pinned them down afterwards and say, why do you always say the Word of God, but you never say King James Bible? I remember one night I did that in South Dakota years ago, and I had the guy out till 3 a.m, said, I want you to tell me that this King James Bible, that is the Word of God that you're talking about when you say inerrant, infallible, da 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 da. And he finally admitted that he doesn't believe that. He's a Greek guy. And how many guys out there, how many pastors out there that are Paul, they are not King James, they'll use one, they'll flash it around, they'll quote from it, but they themselves don't believe that that is the Word of God, and they go back to their Greek when they go back to their little shop. So the things to ask them is pressure them. Is the King James Bible, you Greek guys, the King James Bible the Word of God? Now, what does it have to do with their sermon? Well, it does. It's a bunny trail a little bit, but it just shows that people are not what they say they are, and they're getting turned aside. How many people have I lost when they first got into this Paul fantastic stuff, rightly dividing, are now out there with the mid-actors in whatever form there are? Sam, you sent good stuff. That was just good stuff. You should be doing some sermons here pretty soon with what you know. And we lose them to these guys. They get turned aside. Vain jangling is waving a King James Bible and talking about the Word of God and never say that the King James Bible is a word. That's what these people are. They're Greekers. Okay, here's what you can do. I tell these guys, listen, I can go back in history and I can show you where this King James Bible came from. We can do that. The question is, when we get to the Greek part of this stuff, when you say you go back to the Greek, what Greek do you go back to? There are 24, you know, at least 24 different Greek texts, different versions, you want to call it such for an American term. Which ones do you go back to? So see, you're still going back to different ones. How do we know that you guys are even going back to the same thing? The other question I like to put on these guys is, takes care of all the discussions, doesn't involve history, it doesn't have to have all the different Greek versions, is 1 Corinthians 13:10. Is this the King James Bible? Because see, if it isn't, then the Pentecostals are right. Because all the stuff that talks about there, that's another sermon. But these Greek guys, they're just not King James Bible people. They're not believers. They do not believe that that is the word of truth. They have to put themselves over you. This is the Catholic part of this deal, the Baptist world, the Catholics. Because they believe that only they can understand the scriptures that much to know exactly what God wants us to know, because they can go back to the Greek. That's what they do. It's baloney. It's garbage. And if somebody says to me, I'm a King James Bible guy, are you? I say, well, yeah, I'm so much King James Bible that I believe every word, everything is exactly the way it is. And 1 Corinthians 13:10 tells me that this is the Word of God. This is the Scriptures. This is that which has come. This is perfect. It means it's complete. It's finished. And anything else is a waste of time. Now, if you want to go back and study the history where it came about, go to Sam Gipp or go to Ripplinger. Ripplinger got a new book out, I guess. Somebody sent it to me the other day, and it's very interesting. But the variants within the King James Bible itself. I mean, it's quite the deal. Well, this Superman coming around, the last thing people turn to is the Scriptures to find out if this is the real guy when they talk about this. I know they don't think he is, but you don't bring up a Bible thing. It just tells you that Amos chapter 8 is just getting closer and closer and closer. It just is. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. That's what we're getting into here. So, this Superman guy has replaced the Scriptures. And we know that. I mean, the Scriptures are going down. In my time, in my year, which is only 63 years, I have seen people who cared enough about their Bible that if you showed them the differences between an NIV and a King James Bible, they were not happy. They went to the King James Bible. To where the King James Bible guys don't even look to their Bible. And when the movie The Passion of the Christ came out, that was Antichrist. I mean, the Christ in that movie had the damaged eye, just like it says in Zechariah. The 12 stations of the cross were in that movie. Did people not see that? Well, I would have noticed that, because I don't know the Catholic teachings. But I learned about it. I haven't seen that movie to this day. God even says that's a shame that Christ went through. Why would you want to put up there the shame of your Savior being shamed all over again? Why would you want to be part of that? But people are. They want to be. They think that's their religion. Yes, that's because they're being prepped to follow images. That's what's going on. It's amazing, isn't it? And so these Greek guys come along, and they take the King James Bible right out of your hands because you like the person. He's very educated. He knows what he's talking about, supposedly. And he's a nice guy. And his wife, oh, she's such a marvelous lady. She is so friendly. My wife loves her so much. And my kids, they just love the church. The Sunday school programs are so exciting. They love the music that they're doing. And they got good friends. You know, we can finally have somebody come over. We can find a babysitter now. The whole thing. And the guy is a deceitful liar. Not that there's such thing as a truthful liar, but he's a deceitful person. And avoid from such withdraw. Have no company. The whole deal. Shun. That's what we're supposed to do. But then your family dies because us men don't know what to do with our families spiritually and scripturally. We don't have to play church. We don't have to do that. So we have here an internet church with a King James Bible rightly divided, and we are exposing the fact that not only does this movie Superman ring a bell like Christ, we know who it's really referring to, and it isn't referring to Jesus. It's getting people ready for the Antichrist. Now, let's go to Revelation 13. We'll finish this up this morning, Revelation 13, and then we'll get into the details tonight. I hope you can come back tonight. And let me say something this morning just to us here. No, I better save it. Don't want to get this recorded. Okay, Revelation 13, verse 14. I'll tell you after we're done here, maybe. 13, 14. Revelation 13, 14. Tribulational stuff here. I go to 13. He doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Nothing here, by the way, says that is kryptonite. It doesn't have to be green. At least we learned that thing. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Wouldn't that be something if this Superman image suddenly takes life? Not in the movie, but he does take life in the movies. So, you know, this is something going on here. Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And people say, well, this isn't the God that I know of. God would never do that. That's a mean God that would do that. No, that's a holy God that would do that. And it's a God that provided the way out during the dispensation of grace. And he keeps us from this tribulation. This hour of temptation, Revelation chapter 3, I think it is 2 or 3. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Isn't that something? Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Well, that isn't what Paul teaches. It just isn't. Revelation 16:2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Revelation 19:20. This is an amazing verse. I just picture this thing here. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. See, we got to remember there's a false prophet involved here too, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And that's something. Look at verse 4, chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of God, witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Wow, that's just stuff. Yeah, that's what's going on. That's what's getting ready to come on. It's not here yet. How do you know that? Well, we're here for one thing, and Thessalonians says that we will be gone when this all kicks into gear, and he saved us from that. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, one of the things that will be taking place during the tribulation, which we're already starting to see more and more, and that's in 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them of these things, of which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. This resting of the scriptures does not officially take place until the tribulation. But they're starting to do it more and more. And they don't understand what Paul has to say. They don't get it. Well, during the tribulation, Paul's gospel is not the one that will be taught. It's the everlasting gospel, Revelation 14, Revelation 16. So that's what's going on. And it's all with movies. And we just have to be careful that we don't get turned aside, that we don't get bewitched, and we don't start doing what this modern... And it's easy to do. Movies are that powerful. The phones these kids have, there's pictures, they can get movies, they can get all this live stuff, this tech stuff. I remember this year driving the bus, looking in my mirror when kids are supposed to be yelling and screaming. You know, they're all got their heads bowed and they're looking on their phones and they're playing their games and they're watching their movies and they're doing their music. I mean, they're just ready more and more. Every day they get more and more ready for images that are going to come and are going to snatch them up. It's an amazing thing. Now, tonight we will look at particulars about Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 19.